Triple Option back in studio this week, and I want to start off first before we get going with a special announcement. Tyler, I'm going to let you take it since you set it all up.
We now have an app for both Three Sports Guns and the app for the Triple Option podcast just for Android users. You can go on the website and scan the barcode using a QR scanner, download it. Trust us on the app. It's completely trustworthy. It's just a mobile app for the website, and it works great. I love it. I mean, I designed it, but it looks really nice.
It is nice. No offense to non-Android users. It's just political money stuff that it's ridiculous. It will say what Tyler said, just to reinforce it. It'll say, do you trust it? And it's just because it's the first one. We're just starting it out. But yeah, check out the app. QR scanners on our about page at 3sportsguns.com. Tyler Harold Blair in for the Triple Option, the Purdue edition. We are going to be talking a little bit about high school football, a little bit about Purdue, because there's just not a lot to talk about. And then we're going to move into the college football because we're really getting into some interesting scenarios here. But starting the high school football, West Lafayette wins, CC loses, McCutcheon wins, Harrison loses. We guessed right on half of them. We got the two winners right. We didn't think CC, well, Pops thought they would lose, but not this week. I think you picked them to win this week, right, Pops?
Picked them to win this week. My prediction is, I'm going to give myself some credit, was about a few months ago, said I didn't think they were going to get out of the regional. I just missed it by two games. But, yeah, I picked them this week. I just thought since they beat Tipton in the regular season, that they did get it done, but it looked like it was a back and forth game, and they had the ball, I think, on the four with a few seconds left or two, and just ran out of time, I think.
Yeah, well, I think they had another turnover late that led to Tipton points, which has kind of been plaguing them the past month too. So, what I guess this is kind of projecting. What does that mean for them going forward? Preston, I think, is a senior, the QB. I think those skill players are fairly young, I believe. But they're in Class 2A. Is this starting to be maybe this a trend until they get bumped back down to 1A? Because I don't know if they're going to be as talented.
I don't know. I mean, you know, again, I've been talking all year that they might have had to hit on a couple classes, and those classes are gone, and they're just not quite as, you know, talented and to where they could get away with making mistakes. I mean, if I had the IHSAA here, I'd tell them they're a bunch of hypocritical schmucks because this thing is a joke. That you're penalizing teams for winning, and it's probably because the Indianapolis public schools are bitching, and now because they don't like the private schools are winning because they supposedly recruit. But I think, and it's hard to say for CC because clearly they're going to be in 2A next year. I think it's going to take a couple years for them to be reassigned to the Class A again. So I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to continue to go back to the drawing board and. They'll probably be good, but will they be good enough to win state again? It's tough to say.
Moving on to West Lafayette, we expected to be good. Has West Lafayette exceeded your expectations? Because they've opened up their first two rounds of sectionals with two. Western, I think, was top 10. I think I can't remember who the team was the week before, but I think they were top 15 at least. But they've opened up with two top teams ranking-wise in their own class, and they've beaten them fairly handily by at least 20 points for both of them.
No, I think they've done nothing this regular season to suggest that this is not a legit team that's got a definitive chance to win the state. They look like they just keep rolling, and you know they're the hope for Tippecanoe County to bring home yet another state championship at football. So I think, you know, whether you're on Lafayette, West Lafayette, you're on the county, I think you need to get behind them and support them simply because, you know, other than this run we've had with CC and West Lafayette winning, and then McCutcheon won a couple baseball titles. We don't really get a lot of state titles in this county, so I think you ought to embrace it, even if it's West Lafayette, and, you know, and you don't like them or whatever because you're in Lafayette or you believe in whatever the rivalry there supposedly is. Support them.
And then lastly, we have McCutcheon who beats Kokomo, and they go on to play Westfield who beat Harrison, and Westfield's lost, I believe, one game all season. It looked like McCutcheon got back to what won them games earlier in the season, playing some pretty good defense and running the ball. That Nate Dino kid had over 200 yards again, had a 22-yard touchdown reception. I think he had like four or five total touchdowns. Do you give him a chance?
Oh, yeah. I think you have to give him a chance because, frankly, I don't think any of us obviously thought that they were going to win. I thought, well, here we go. They're slipping back to the Harrison Jeff level, which is not exactly anything to strive for, but they pulled one out against a team that I thought was going to be better than them. So, yeah, you got to give them credit. I mean, this is a sectional championship game, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they got as good a chance as Westfield, so, I mean, where's it at?
I think it's at Westfield.
Well, that's unfortunate, but, yeah, I'd say that more than likely I'll take Westfield probably because they're at home, but I think, obviously, McCutchen has proven that maybe since they've got into the sectional playoffs, and maybe that's just kind of giving them another chance, and, you know, last few years they've done better in the sectional playoffs than either Harrison or Jeff, so... They got a shot. They got a puncher's chance, as they use in a boxing terminology. So, I mean, you know, if they can run the ball, you know, and that means you should be in pretty much any game you're in.
Worth noting a couple statistics. McCutchen, I believe, played in Westfield last year for the sectional championship and lost. They beat Noblesville in round two, which was a bit of an upset. And then CC had something like a 25-game playoff win streak snapped. West Lafayette is looking to get back to sectionals for, like, they lost the first game last year, but they're looking to get back to the sectional championship, which they've done, I think, like, 8 out of the last 10 years, and I expect them to make a pretty far push. Obviously, they're in their same class, and they just run people over, basically.
That's what good teams do. All you have to do is just watch the Ohio State-Purdue game. The good teams just roll over the bad teams, so, you know, you just don't know the draw, and you hope that they don't go up against somebody that's just maybe they shouldn't, because the draw is too tilted towards the section or the regional or the semi-state. But again, you got to give them the chance that they can get the Indy and win.
All right. Well, Pops alluded to it. Moving on to Purdue and Ohio State. Pops, you were at that game, so let's get your first-hand experience here, even though I think it's going to be pretty short.
Well, you know, I will say this. The stadium was relatively full, and there seemed to be an electricity there, but boy, it didn't last long. You know, I was a little bit late, and I look up at the scoreboard, and it was 14-0. I'm like, boy, this, you don't exactly need to help Ohio State. And then Ohio State just proceeded to basically march up and down the field methodically. Their receivers were literally wide open. That tight end, I don't know his name for Ohio State, he was 6'5", 240, and probably runs a 6-40-yard dash. Purdue couldn't find him. Guy, like I said, every receiver that it seems like Miller threw to was wide open. Purdue couldn't cover anybody. And when they decided that, hey, maybe we got to cover some people, then they started running it up the middle, and they were ripping off, you know, in the second quarter, 8 to 10 yards. I'm like, and then the offensive line had massive troubles blocking. But the thing that struck me was this. When Purdue was, you would say, relatively still in the game, down 21-0, 28-0, it'd be 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6. It just looked like, I don't know if the Purdue coaching staff has lost a little bit of confidence in Etling, or maybe they're trying to put him in a position not to throw a pick six, which he seems to be doing even in the warm-ups. It's just, you know, I don't know if it's they've lost confidence or maybe Etling has, but it just was curious when you have like 3rd and 8, you're running the ball, you know, and you could still be in this game and if you throw the ball, but I don't know. The one thing that really struck me was at the end, they panned to him, and he, granted, you just see how young he is, which is obviously he's a freshman, but he just looked like dazed and confused. And I think you and I were talking last night, he's been sacked 17 times since he took over as a starter. I think it's time to see what Appleby can do, not only just because you need some sort of spark, because all of us thought the offense was going to maybe take off and get better than what it was under Henry, which was, it was nothing to crow about, but boy, it's really kind of gone the other way. And while you could argue that, well, that might hurt Etling's, you know, I'm starting to wonder, if you leave him in, are you going to hurt him just because he's taking a beating?
Ty, what are your thoughts, because you broadcast the whole game?
That was the point a lot of people were making, was a lot of people were calling at least a call show later on after the game to say, well, maybe they should take Etling out if he gets hurt. And somebody from Golden Black called in and said, if you're worried he's going to get hurt, why are you playing him? Like, I understand what you're saying if he gets hurt, but people are going to get hurt. I mean, if he's out there, he's got to get a chance of getting hurt. But if he's got a chance of getting hurt, it means he's playing. I mean, he's not going to get better sitting on the bench.
I'm not talking about protecting him from being hurt, Tyler. I'm talking from hurting his psyche from just getting his ass beat all the time. And if he looks like he's playing not in a shell or not to make a mistake, because he's thrown, what, 3 or 4 pick sixes? At some point, it's only human nature to start thinking, boy, I don't know if I'm going to make that throw, because every time I throw it, the other team goes the other way and scores a touchdown. I just said I'm a little worried about his psyche, and whether that he's either kind of not, you know, like I said, in this certain definitive passing situations, you're not passing the ball. It's either the team doesn't have the confidence in Etling, or maybe Etling, I don't know if he has the ability to audibleize. I doubt it, but it just was odd to see when definitive passing downs, you're running it.
So you're suggesting putting in another freshman instead of Etling?
Yes. I mean, I think you really need to find out. I mean, as good as Etling was a recruit, do you really honestly know? Do you have a crystal ball? I know you make all these predictions, and you, I mean, I keep being told you're right on them, but do you have a crystal ball that says Etling is going to work out?
I think if you bench Etling, you're benching Etling for life, because Appleby is not some junior senior. Appleby is a redshirt freshman that could also be labeled as the future. And in Etling's eyes, if Appleby starts, it's saying, Etling, we're benching you. Appleby is the now and the future. It's not like they're starting Henry and said, Henry's finishing out the season. Appleby, if he starts, Appleby, you are making him the future.
I don't think this program is based on just Etling. You've got problems on the offensive line, the defensive line. You can't cover people. You need more types of playmakers. So, I mean, if the future of the Purdue program is on an Etling, we got a problem. Because you're going to have to, just wait a minute, you're going to have to rebuild the whole thing. So I think you have to really find out, and if not only if Etling's just maybe not up to this, maybe Appleby is.
I'm not saying future's the team. I'm saying future's in quarterback.
Maybe Appleby's better suited for this. I mean, does anybody really know this? I mean, nobody can definitively say that Etling is going to be that next great quarterback at Purdue, despite his high, lofty rating coming in as a recruit. I mean, you know, he just has not lived up, and I think it's only Nate. I'm telling you again, he's thrown four pick sixes. At some point, that starts getting in your head and is going to start playing with why you're going to start, instead of just going out there throwing the ball, you're going to think, boy, I can't make this throw because it's an out across the field and somebody can intercept it, and they could go back and score another touchdown.
I think that's why
what if Appleby doesn't work out?
Well, I think you go back to Etling.
What if you destroyed his confidence?
He's a freshman. You're just going to have to deal with it. And what's he going to do if he can't handle being benched, if he goes up in a pressure situation of going into Ohio State, going into Michigan, which is going to be more pressure-filled than playing at home against Ohio State, with 100,000 people screaming at you in a pressure situation to win a game?
What's worse? Well, you just said that maybe they don't trust him, or maybe he's unconfident. What's gonna help make him confident? The fact he got benched? That's going to drop his confidence to... It's going to go crashing through the floor, and it's going to be at an all-time low. I mean, he's probably thinking worse. At best, the team needs to go, just throw it. You throw an interception, who cares? We're not playing for a bowl. Just throw it all the hell you want, because it's not like it's going to get any worse. Just chuck it all you want, because you know what? You're going to throw interceptions, but some of those are going to come down our way, and that's what they made the choice. I understand what you're saying, that you go to Appleby, but that choice isn't now. That choice was when they put Etling in. They could have put Appleby in, but they did not. That is when Hazel had that choice. Taking Etling out now destroys everything they just did for the past month, and possibly could be ruining Etling, and you're going to be going into this whole thing where you didn't like what Hope did, going flipping back and forth in quarterbacks 1 week, then the next week, then 1 week, then one gets hurt, then one plays bad, then play the other one, and you want to see that for the next 4 years?
Well, he brings up a good point, Pops, because you had complaints about the offense, too.
But how do you know Appleby might not spark the offense more so than
Etling? Can't say that we have problems everywhere. You can't say we have problems everywhere and then say, well, I bet the offense would maybe look better with Appleby. You just said that they need more playmakers, the offensive line's bad, so what happens if you put Appleby in, it's the exact same thing.
What happens if you put Appleby in and somehow he moves this offense?
What is your example for using it? You just said they have nothing for him to move it with.
Yeah.
But how do you know that he might not come in and spark these guys somehow? It does happen. Some guys can make a connection with other players and make people better. The great quarterbacks can elevate everybody around them. I'm not saying Appleby is a great quarterback, but in the preseason camp, and actually in the spring, Appleby was not that far behind Etling as far as what they were judging as far as passing.
Yeah, and they both lost to Henry in the preseason.
That's because they probably went with a senior, right? Told you that more than likely Hazel didn't really lose his team from the beginning and start a freshman over a senior who probably has worked his ass off, and they thought he deserves to start because he said he gets injured sneezing and he's out for the year.
All the media outlets said that Henry was clear cut the better looking quarterback in camp.
He should. He's a senior. He's been there what, 7 years? I mean, you ought to know what you're doing, but clearly he's not a good. But they've decided to move on from that. Okay, but this Etling thing has not worked. So please don't tell me that things could get any worse than putting Appleby in. I mean, because it's just miserable.
You're giving up on... I'm with Tyler. If you put Appleby in, you're basically sacrificing Ettling for the hope that you can win a few more games this season.
And that's not the point of this season.
It's not about winning the season. It's about finding out who's the better quarterback.
There's a greater
risk in Ettling not... in destroying Ettling. The greater risk here is destroying Ettling's confidence and ruining him as a player and putting Appleby in and Appleby taking a beating. And then you have two quarterbacks that you just basically ruined.
So you're willing just to go with Ettling and just
my problem is that
keeping another freshman on who has played fairly well in camp and not going with him despite the fact that you decided to go with freshmen pretty much everywhere else.
Freshman. Ettling was better than Appleby. That's what you picked. Yeah. My problem was with the coaching staff. Let's try to outmuscle Ohio State. That's a great idea. How about we throw hook and ladders and run reverses and run fake punts. And no, they want to play traditional offense, and then they wonder why they get beat 56-0.
That starts with your head coach, because that's his philosophy, and you are not equipped to line up and knock anybody over. If you can't beat Indiana State and just run their ass in the ground, you have no chance of going up against Michigan State, Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin. I'm just telling you, I think the season is lost a month ago, all right? And it's just got to the point that they had no business even playing that game yesterday. It was that damn bad. What the hell is it going to hurt to put in Appleby?
His point is, honestly, if you looked at a school, what is a higher percentage? You take a freshman who has never played a snap, and he turns into something good on a team you admit has extremely little talent around him, or number two, they continue to play bad. He's saying the higher percentage, they continue to play bad. But you also ruin two guys who have a huge future in front of them, and you could eventually turn to Appleby, maybe, if the team is better. But no matter what, the team is bad.
You're assuming that if you take Ettling out that he's going to be crushed. How do you know that maybe he's a little bit tougher than that? You know, and okay, I'm going to tell you again, if you can't take a benching as a freshman, I don't want him quarterbacking me.
Yeah, but he has to be tougher than that. But if you put, he has to be tougher. That doesn't mean he is. One, two, I'm still with Ty. The higher percentage you put Appleby in, he gets sacked five times a game and throws pick sixes, and we're still having the same conversation. That is the higher percentage.
Okay, but the season's lost. You might as well play all your freshmen and find out what you got. Because it's going to help you in about 2 years down the road to find out, did we make the right decision or did we make the wrong decision?
I disagree. You picked your guy. You stick with your guy. If you want to open up camp and tell him that the job's open for whatever because we went 1-10, whatever they end up going, 1-11, that's when you do it.
Well, that's your opinion. I don't agree with it.
Tyler, last thoughts on Purdue football.
Let's see what they do against Iowa and Illinois. All right. Let's hope Ettling can get through to get to IU, because based off of anything, he should be able to get at least two or three touchdowns against IU throwing it.
The defense is awful.
Anybody should be able to get that. I could go in and start quarterback and get a touchdown against IU. So, let's hope a quarterback gets to IU and they don't have a good
quarterback.
Game.
Let's hope a quarterback.
Based off the sacks yesterday, it's possible both to get hurt. Just saying.
All right, moving to college football. I think we got to talk about Miami and Florida State first, because another big game. I don't know, Pops, does Florida State, with Miami undefeated and Clemson undefeated and the margin that they won by in both games, I personally think Florida State has the two best wins in college football. Am I wrong on that one?
No, I think you're right. I think clearly they just beat the hell out of both of them. One was at Clemson, and granted, this was at home, but they I think they've combined to score, 83 or 84 points they've given up?
Like 21,
20.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of hard to argue. We were talking a month ago about Georgia's schedule, which was every time you turn around, they're playing the top six. Well, they've into, like, two of the last four weeks, Florida State's played, I think Clemson was 6 or 7. Miami was 6 or 7.
I think it was 3 and 5.
Okay, whatever. But the point being is you're talking top 7-8 teams, and they smashed them both. Now, the hope is that Florida State can get through the rest of their schedule. The problem is just because of the way the BCS is, and, you know, you schedule your opponents and you schedule your opponents' opponents, and supposedly Oregon is supposed to get through because they play tougher opponents. I think that's just failed logic. Simply because I just don't think Oregon is as good as Florida State this year. And even though they're going to go undefeated and beat up some supposedly good teams, maybe Stanford's a good one, but I don't think Stanford is going to be anywhere near the rankings of, like, Clemson or what Miami was. I think that it would be just a joke if somehow Oregon gets in a championship game versus Bama instead of Florida State, because I think it's pretty obvious Florida State is the second best team in the country.
Ty, what do you think?
I agree. I think that Florida State so far has, but at the same time, Oregon's about to play Stanford next week. So it's I guess it's not about, it's not who you play, it's when you play. If you get the good win last, everyone's going to remember that. If you know, Florida State beat the number one team at the beginning of the year, everyone would be wrong about it. But at the end of the year, everyone's like, I don't even remember that game. So I agree, but at the same time, we're what, two-thirds of the way through? There's still plenty of games to be played, and it's about the last game you play. Plus, if Oregon may play, they beat USC. Oregon may play somebody in the Pac-12 championship that looks a little better than who Florida State plays in the ACC championship. Because now everyone, since Miami and Clemson are going to lose, everyone's going to be like, ah, who cares? Those teams are bad. Get them out of the way. Florida State's good. But people could still be talking about the Pac-12 teams Oregon are playing, so that win might look better than Florida State. But I do think that Florida State is a better team.
What Florida State needs is Clemson and Miami to run the table.
Yeah, they do need that.
And that way, that will elevate at the end when they do these cookie computations and everything. That'll make them, Florida State's schedule, look tougher. I mean, if Miami or Clemson goes in a tank, that's a problem. And, you know, I saw Clemson smashed Virginia yesterday, so that's good for Florida State, and they need Miami just to kind of run the table the rest of the way through. And I think they could play them again in the ACC championship game. I think people like to see that too, so that would help also, because they would still, with one loss, going up against an undefeated Florida State, assuming they make the run. But the thing I'm waiting for is Florida State. What has been problematic for Florida State fans the last 10 years, they inexplicably lose games that they have no business losing. Now, this year they've taken care of business, but after this big game, you can't go and lose it to whoever they play next week, Virginia,
Wake Forest,
Duke, or Maryland.
At
you
Wake
can't
Forest.
Lose games like that. You got to go into those, take care of business, and steamroll them.
Before we go to the SEC, because I'm going to placate Tyler on this one. Tyler, Baylor plays Oklahoma at home this week, 6-10. Can Baylor run the table and get to the national championship game?
Are you saying that if Baylor goes undefeated and everybody else in front of them is in Ohio State, Oregon, Florida State, and Alabama? Are you saying, like, are you asking, is Baylor have a chance of getting in that argument or what?
Yeah, you're right. I need to be more specific. Baylor's 6. They're playing number 10 at home. If Baylor goes undefeated, is it possible that they put them in the conversation? Obviously, if people lose, then you move up. But I just mean in the conversation in general. I know you're going to say, well, Oregon and Florida State have the front road, but I think the Pac-12 has some decently ranked teams, because you got Oklahoma's 10, Okie State's ranked, Texas Tech is ranked.
The Big 12?
Big 12.
Well, my problem, I'm not going to go with that. My problem more I'm going to go with is that Baylor has not really played anybody in their conference. This is the stretch people have been talking about for Baylor, where they're saying this is where they need to prove themselves, because they're playing like Oklahoma, Texas Tech, and I think Okie State or something like that. Like, all the Big 12 teams that you just said are good are still in front of them. So right now I say no, because they're only ranked where they are ranked because they're just still undefeated and everybody else is losing. So they're like, well, we can't put them lower, but they haven't played anybody. We'll just put them behind the other guys. And right now, Texas Tech was, what, like 7th?
They were 10th.
Though they got up pretty high. Oh, yeah, they got up pretty high just because they were like, everyone else is losing and they haven't lost. But they played, like, absolutely nobody. And Texas Tech went down because they were a good team. They just hadn't played anybody good, and everybody else is losing. I think it's too early to talk about Baylor because I would say that, oh, there's a lot of games left to go, but because the best teams they play in their schedule are still in front of them. They still haven't actually proven themselves in a defiant win. The only team I think they've actually played that was anywhere decent was probably Kansas State, and they didn't win that game by a whole lot.
Okay, last question then. Do you think their offense, I doubt, against these better teams, they're not going to score 70, but do you think their offense is legit and they'll put up points?
I think so. Well, I think you might be saying the defenses are good, but are better, possibly, but I still don't think any of the defenses in the Big 12 are that great, so I still think they can put up 40 points, especially not only because they have passing like they always have, but C-Struck, I think I'm saying his name right, he's a very good running back. He's capable of making that offense not just one-dimensional. He can catch and he can run. So I think they could still put up 40 a game. I think it's possible they can go undefeated, but I'd say I'd still want to watch them play. I want to watch them play Oklahoma, which is possibly the best team in the Big 12 they have to play.
All right, moving on, before we go to the SEC again, I have another question because Pops and I have been talking about this. Pops, how many BCS busters do you think are going to get in? Because you were talking about a couple of them yesterday.
I think clearly Northern Illinois, if they don't get in, Kirk Herbstreit's probably behind it. It's clearly Fresno State is in the top 10, and I think they won again last night. And then with the Miami loss, you still were on November 3rd. You still have 7 undefeated teams, which means we could be headed to a mess as far as BCS and a bunch of teams with legitimate arguments for not getting into BCS championship game. Because I don't think an undefeated Northern Illinois, with what they did in the Big Ten, and they're just rolling everybody, is going to be acceptance of the fact they just get in the BCS. If they're undefeated, I think they're going to think we need also deserve a legitimate shot at the BCS. So you're looking at a calamity in the last season of the BCS. So I think those two guys are going to get in. Granted, you're probably going to see a couple teams lose, but if you have 3 or 4 or 5 undefeated teams, then you're just going to, boy, you're opening up a Pandora's box of people bitching about the BCS and who should be in.
Tyler, we're wearing those Under Huskies bracelets. What do you think about Jordan Lynch and those Northern Illinois Huskies?
I mean, I'm excited to see them. Now, I guess I would call it a BCS buster, but at the same time, people don't realize since UCF beat Louisville, they have the inside track for the AAC, whatever. I don't call it a BCS buster, but I always like rooting for the little school, even though I like Louisville, but I think that's cool. I still view it as BCS buster because that's a tiny team. That's a small team that, you know, I mean, they upset a top 10 team, but I want to see Northern Illinois get in Fresno State, mostly because Herbstreit did that whole, you know, get him out of here, it's a disgrace. I'm like, who cares? Herbstreit, you are basically defending a dinosaur that's dying. It is dying. Let it go. The BCS is destroyed. Let people play with it what they want. Let's just have fun, and who cares? No one cares anymore because it's over. So Herbstreit should have shut up last year, and if he says anything this year, I want to go slap him in the face and be like, you're defending something that is shutting down next year. What do you care what it does? Just let it happen. Let some fun go. Let's stop putting Penn State and Nebraska together because it's so legendary and they have so much history. Let's put some fun teams together. Let's make it a little more exciting, a little different. It doesn't always have to be the two schools that are 150 years old. Let's put the school that just opened its football team in because it's undefeated because it's different. Let's try something different, you conservative moron. We need to put something in there that's fun. The point is not for 60 and 80-year-old men to watch. The point is to get kids to watch, and kids want to see new and different things and stuff they've never seen before. No one had ever seen Northern Illinois play before last year's Orange Bowl. I bet no one even knew who Jordan Lynch was. I'd love to see Fresno State play. I've never seen them play before because you can't. They're such a small school that you can't see it. So I like seeing that. It's cool. There's 130 teams in 120-something.
It's like 125 now or something like that.
Yeah, there's 32 teams in the NFL. I've seen every NFL team. You can't see every FBS team because there's just too many. So let's see something new. I don't want to see Ohio State for the billionth time play. I want to see a cool new team play, and who cares? The BCS is over. Let's just put whoever we want in the BCS.
Well, I'm assuming there's a disclaimer there that you want new teams as long as they've earned it.
Oh, yeah, as long as they earned it. But I'm saying if it's between an 11-1 Nebraska team and a 12-0 Northern Illinois team, which you could put, you know, maybe I'm saying that because probably an undefeated higher school team would go over. But if they're equal in that, like that, I don't want to hear these arguments of, well, Nebraska's got the history, or if it's Oklahoma, they got the history, and they deserve it. I'll be like, I don't care. Nebraska's history isn't playing football out there. Nebraska's team is.
Pops, what do you think, real quick, because I want to talk about the SEC a little bit, but what do you think, being in a generation in front of us, about that argument?
I don't know. I lost track because I think it was very passionate, Tyler, but it just got to the point, I think you're beating a dead horse, but... No, I think, I'm not going to say you put in new for the sake of new, but clearly this was set up to bring in non-big conference teams, and if they deserve to be in, which I think clearly Northern Illinois did, morons like Kirk Herbstreit, and basically anybody from ESPN, because their attitude sucks, and they're just corrupted because they have contracts with the Big Ten and everybody else. They don't have contracts to play the MAC, that they're just sitting there, and there's probably somebody with their shirt of his back running his mouth, and it's probably the commissioner of the Big Ten, Jim Delaney, so he says that, and I don't want noise in here. it's you put in the best, but you know, going next year to this, you know, this four team, whatever you do, people are going to bitch, because the fifth team, if not next year, the following year, is going to be a legitimate team that should be in. And what are you going to say to them? Tough shit. I mean, you know, we're only taking four. I mean, then you expand to eight, and then people are going to be, oh, it's too long. Then you'll be wanting to cut in the regular season games, and the university is going to be screaming because they're losing that revenue because they want the 12 games. That's why most teams have like seven home games, because they got the extra 12th game and they make the money. So this is just like, you know, six one way, half a dozen the other. None of this is legitimate. I mean, even when the NCAA basketball tournament goes to 68 or whatever the hell it is, there's still people say, well, how could you not let these guys in? And they're like, the 65th best team? Seriously, you want to have an argument about the 65th best team getting in? What the hell are the odds that they're going to win? I mean, it's just, unless you just put everybody in like the state does, I mean, that's the only way. And then that just makes a mockery of the regular season. So you're going to have an argument either way, but Northern Illinois deserved it, and I think they deserve to get in the BCS. But as I said, having gotten in, if they get in this year, they're undefeated. I don't think they're going to be very accepting of just getting in. If they're undefeated, they're going to say, why can't we have a shot at Alabama?
Yeah. Okay, Alabama, quickly. LSU's this week. Pops, though, alluded to, even if Alabama beats LSU, they still don't have their they control their own destiny. But they still don't get to waltz into Atlanta because Auburn all of a sudden has one SEC loss.
Yep.
Gets LSU.
And all of a sudden they could both run the table and Auburn could could beat Alabama and get in. I mean, you're not picking against Alabama, you made it clear all year, but LSU and Auburn, still two good opponents left. I don't think SEC-wise, besides Texas A&M, I don't think Alabama's been super challenged yet. They apparently have these guys in the last half of their conference schedule.
They really haven't played
close games.
I think they'll pull away from LSU, and I'm not for sure where the Auburn game is. I don't know if it's at home or not, but I'm really seeing Auburn. But considering it's a rivalry game, I would think that one's going to probably be a contested game, but I think they probably come out of both and win. But the thing is what is ironic, as you were, I guess, alluding to, is that despite all this, and I'll talk about the winning 4-5, if Auburn could run the table and defeat Alabama, Bama is knocked out of the SEC championship, because I'm assuming the top tiebreakers head-to-head games. And, you know, all of a sudden, before even they get into BCS, that historic run of winning 4-5 is over.
Tyler?
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of the whole same thing with Alabama with Baylor. They haven't played they played at A&M. Never mind.
I mean, A&M's the only one,
yeah,
really,
I was like, I was trying to think. I was like, have they played anybody? They played A&M, but at the same time, that feels like it was so long. It was like, what, the third weekend? It was like
midway third week of
September.
The season.
That was a while ago. I don't know. I want to watch the Alabama-Auburn game because I think that might be a closer game, especially because if it's in Auburn, that's going to be one game to watch, because Auburn is going to get up for that game if that's true. But I'm still unsure. I don't know. I'm just going to look forward to watching the games.
All right. I think our picks are pretty simple this week. We got the Bears and Colts, obviously. We got Oklahoma at Baylor, 10-6. Oregon at Stanford, 2-5. And then LSU at Alabama, 13-1. Anybody dispute those picks?
No, those are pretty much for a given. It's kind of weird, though, because the Stanford, Oregon, and the Baylor, Oklahoma are both Thursday night.
That is weird. But those are our five picks. Those three college games, plus Bears and Colts, plus high school, and all the Big Ten. Check those out tomorrow.
Can we go with the top four?
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Good call. We got to wrap it up with our top four. All right, Pops, top four teams before we get out of here.
Bama, Florida State, Oregon, Missouri.
Tyler.
Missouri. Bama, Oregon, Florida State. You know what? Baylor.
I'm taking
Ohio State.
I'm taking Tyler's as well. I don't have a problem with Missouri. You're kind of surprising with Missouri, but I'm with Tyler. I'll take the same four as Tyler. All right, check out the picks tomorrow. Again, check out the app that's on our about page, 3sportsguns.com. Facebook account for Triple Option. Twitter account, Take the Pitch. And for us this week, that's going to do it. I'm Blair Gunther.
Tyler Gunther.
Harold Gunther.
And watch out for the pitch.